Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to NaNoWriMo Every Month. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 20 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and other things, and I am your guide on this journey to use NaNoWriMo to level up to professional output levels. Welcome to The Questions, Episode 57.
Today, JR asks, what do you do with all of the advice from beta readers? How do you know the gold from the fool's gold? I seem to have gotten advice that is all over the map with no consistency, and most of it suggestive rather than factual errors.
Well, JR, here's the process I go through with my beta readers. I get all of the manuscripts. I give them each a once-over and read the marginal notes. I don't really look at the track changes at the moment because typos are typos and they're easy to fix. What I'm looking for is anything that they're pointing out in the margin notes that I have completely overlooked. Like, for example, my new Clark Lantham book has been delayed a couple of weeks because my last beta, who got the manuscript to me on the last day I said that I wanted to get a manuscript, pointed out that I had done something very stupid with regards to a particular setting in my story. Something very stupid that required some conceptual work in the first three chapters of the book, which I'm almost done with. Very, very annoying. However, when I got the manuscript back and I saw that, I knew immediately that I was going to have to hold publication while I decided whether or not I wanted to pay attention to this thing and how much I was willing to change in order to accommodate what I recognized as a very valid problem that she had found that I had completely missed. Sometimes that happens. Happened to be a town that this beta reader knew very well, so, yeah. On the other hand, not a lot of people live there, so I could probably get away with it. But one of the things about Lantham is the realism of the setting. So it took me a few days of talking back and forth with myself, but I finally caved, and I'm doing something about it. But I read through all the comments basically to load them into my brain. And as I'm going through, I delete any comments that are, to my mind, stupid. Sometimes beta readers will object to a character doing something because it bothers them personally. Well, one of the things I like to do with my writing is bother my readers. It's sort of a thing for me. I love to make readers uncomfortable as much as I love to make them laugh or cry. It's just part of the thrill of telling a story for me is provoking reactions in my readers. So as long as the beta reader is upset by something that the character does that's in character, I ignore it. I delete the comment, in fact, on the first pass through because I don't want to see it again and second guess it. Now, if the character seems to be acting out of character, that to me is usually worth a little more attention because frequently it means that I haven't established the foundation, or what usually happens is that I have established the foundation, but I wasn't very clear. I had unclear antecedents in my writing, which is a problem that I fight with all the time, or I hadn't connected a train of thought from chapter 1 to a train of actions in chapter 6. And there was enough of a gap that the reader had forgotten, so I need to seed in a couple of reminders along the way so that the chain remains in play in the reader's mind as well as it was in the writer's mind. The other thing I'll pay attention to is any places the readers are too happy. If the readers are too happy, particularly if they laughed so hard that it popped them out of the story, I may be looking at a joke that is a little too obvious and I need to dial it back, because as much as I want to provoke a reaction, I do not want to shatter the verisimilitude, and if I break the fourth wall in the wrong way, which a character like Clark Lantham or Suave Rob tends to do a lot, is break the fourth wall. If I do that in the wrong way, I can shatter the reader's reality, and I don't want to do that, so sometimes I find myself having to dial those moments back just a shade. Just a shade. And then early on, one of the notes that I got from readers a lot, I haven't gotten one in about 7 books anymore, is the story lost me here. At this point, I stopped caring about what's going on. That's where an old-style editor would draw a line through the manuscript and say, I stopped reading here. And I'll still get that feedback from editors in short stories when I provoke a particularly enthusiastic rejection on a submission. And those types of things are worth listening to usually, not because they tell you what's wrong, because usually the reader has no idea, even if they think they do. But because they tell you something is wrong before this point where you lost the reader. Frequently it will be that you got so into your writing that you started dropping details and the story went from thick and dense and deep to very thin and shallow. As you picked up speed, you stopped remembering to seed in the emotional and sensory details that keep your reader engaged. And if you read back through and you find yourself doing that, and then not too long after you start doing that, you find your beta readers are saying, "Ah, you lost me here." That's when you need to go back through, take one more creative pass at it, and seed in all that depth that you had in your head, but that never quite made it out your fingers. Once I've read through all my readers' comments and triaged them out, I just delete the ones that I've decided I'm not going to pay any attention to, and I leave the ones that I know I'm going to pay attention to or that I want to think about. Then I put them away until I've got all my beta readers in together, and then I merge all the documents together, because frequently they'll find the same typos. Sometimes this means I'm merging two documents, sometimes it means I'm merging six, because I've got six regular beta readers, and they kind of read things as they've got time. So sometimes some are available, sometimes others, sometimes all of them. When a science fiction book goes out, they're all available. When a mystery goes out, some of them are available because I got them all through my science fiction writing, so only some of them have kind of come over to the mystery side with me. But anyway, I do document merge, which is something you can do in Word or OpenOffice, and basically just filters everybody's responses down into one document. I do that, and then I open the beta document on one side of the screen, and the original document on the other side of the screen, and I go through the beta document all the way through, and when I find a change I like, I hop over to the other document and apply it. I do not hit the accept button ever on track changes, because I've found that it's too easy to sort of get in a zombie zone and click, 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 and you wind up accepting a bunch of changes that you didn't really think about, and sometimes they're the wrong changes, like occasionally a beta reader won't know a word I use, and so they substitute another word that doesn't mean the same thing, because I use obscure words, or I torture words and use the third or fourth definition on purpose sometimes to mislead the reader, and substituting a synonym removes the definition I had actually intended. So stuff like that happens from time to time, so I never accept changes in the original document. I always see a change that I want to make, and I move over to the right side of the screen and type that change into my manuscript. And when I start, I save my fixed manuscript as blah, 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 dash, proofread. For example, the recent Lantham book was Bodies in the Basement, so Bodies in the Basement, dash, proofread. And then when I'm all done, I save the changes. I've got a clean manuscript to go to press with. And as I've been going through the beta manuscript, I've rejected all the changes, but I don't save any changes to the beta manuscript. I keep that as it was, in case there's ever a situation where I need to refer back to it. For example, if somehow I lose my fixed version, I can always go back to the betas and reapply the changes. And I also just, it's good policy to keep different stages of your writing. Might come in handy someday. Someone might ask for it when you're old and gray and they want to establish a university archive and teach a class on you or something. So, I do that, and then I've got a manuscript that goes off to Kitty McKeon at AWP for laying out as a paperback. I author the ebook myself in situ and send it off to Kitty McKeon at AWP for the cover art. She sticks it in. It all gets uploaded to the appropriate places, released, announced on the blog, announced on the newsletter, announced on the podcast, all that good stuff. And nowadays, dropped to the Patreon patrons, because people who are patronizing this podcast are going to be getting all the nonfiction books I write for writers, and the people who sponsor the Antithesis podcast, they get all my fiction. So it works out, and it's a good way to make sure you keep up on all the latest J.D. Sawyer wonderful goodness. Just in case. By the way, several of you have already ponied up to sponsor, and I must thank you. It really, really encourages me and keeps me going. Makes me excited, and I love doing this. I love talking to you guys, so keep it up. This is fantastic. I'll have a special episode where I thank all of you by name in a few weeks. Anyway, that's about how I do it. Now, it sounds like if you're getting feedback all over the place, and that's suggestive, It sounds like you have what to an artist is the worst possible problem. You've got helpful friends. Helpful friends to artists are like helpful friends on moving day when you're moving house. When you're moving house, particularly when you're packing, you need people to pack things in a way that makes sense for coming out at the other end. Occasionally, you will get a very efficient, helpful friend who packs things in boxes according to how they fit best, not according to how you'll want to unpack them at the other end. And they'll go on a tear and they'll pack a whole room in 20 minutes and it will look brilliant. And then you'll get to the other end and you'll realize that you don't know where anything is because the box isn't labeled and it contains 18 different sorts of things. And so you have to unpack your whole house to find the one thing that you need in order to organize it. This happens to everybody. It'll probably happen to you a few times over the course of your life. Helpful friends are wonderful, wonderful people who you do not want around in the wrong circumstances. It sounds like you might have helpful beta readers. Helpful beta readers are people who think they know how to write, and they are trying to encourage you in your writing by telling you how to do it better. Any helpful beta reader that you have who does not have at least 10 more books done than you do is someone you need to not listen to. They don't know what they're talking about. I promise, no matter how sophisticated they are as a reader, they don't know dick. What they know is when something isn't working for them. And they think they know exactly what isn't working for them. They usually don't. But they'll go and they'll start to mentally rewrite the book so that it works for them. But that's them rewriting it to their taste. It's like a bad developmental editor. And I talked about those a couple episodes ago. And I talked about good developmental editors a couple episodes ago, and I'm not too hot on them either. So my advice would be to ignore most of what you've got. If you're getting vague, suggestive stuff, first of all, you need to control your betas better. You need to tell them, look, I really appreciate that you're trying to help and encourage me. Because you do. They're doing it because they love you and they value your career. And they want you to be a success. So you tell them, look, I really appreciate it, but what you're giving me isn't helpful in the way you think it is. Here's the kind of feedback I need. I need to know where you were lost. I need to know when you spot a typo. I need to know when my character's eye color changes. I need to know those kinds of things you notice as a reader that throw you out of the story. That's all. You don't need to know that your characterization is weak, because that's one of the things you're working on anyway. And if you're getting stuff that's confusing you and discouraging you, it's just going to stop you from writing and getting better at the things that are making your writing hard to stick with. And that would be the other thing I'd suggest. The first few books you write are going to be hard to read. They're going to be hard to read because you're still learning how to hold an audience. If you go back a couple of episodes to where I talked to Ben about how to make readers care, a lot of the times when you get conflicting feedback from beta readers along with vague suggestions, the real reason is that along the line, you've lost them. They've failed to care enough because they're not connected enough to your character emotionally, or they are having a hard time visualizing and in otherwise sensorily inhabiting the scenes that you're laying out. That's going to be tough for your first few books because you're still learning how to do those things. And those are things that you will, hopefully, if you keep learning and practicing, improve with on every book and never get good enough at, because there is no end to how good you can get at that sort of thing. We don't live long enough to truly master deep writing, but you want to keep working on it and getting as good as you can because that's how you hold readers and make them care about what's going on. The gold from the fool's gold. The gold is any information that helps you understand what you want to practice next time. And it's also information that tells you you've made an error. Not that you're not good enough at something yet. There's going to be a lot of that. It's something that tells you you've made an error. You've accidentally confused Eureka, California with Wyreka, California. They're both in Northern California, but they're in very different places and they're very different cultures. You've accidentally confused Union City, California with Union City, New Jersey. Well, that happens. And if it happens, you want to know because you want to fix it. The stuff that you can fix, that's gold. The stuff that requires you to go back and rewrite the story, that's not gold, especially not when you're a young writer. If you have less than 10 novels under your belt, it's much more important that you develop the ability to ignore those suggestions than it is for you to follow them and try to fix them. Because frankly, you probably don't know enough yet to take and act on any of those suggestions in a way that will actually improve the book without breaking something else. What you want to do is ignore those things and just be aware that your next book you're going to have to work a little harder at characterization or depth or plot or whatever it is that you seem to be losing people on. And that'll be a moving target over your first several books. Keep your chin up. Confusing feedback from beta readers early on is really demoralizing, and the worst thing you can do is let it stop you. It is much, much easier to improve when you're moving than it is to stop and regroup. It's not possible to improve when you're standing still. You have to be moving. So fix anything that's wrong, get that book up, and jump right into the next one, and do the next one better than you did the first one, and keep going. That's my advice for what it's worth, and I'll see you tomorrow.
NaNoWriMo Every Month is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at NaNoWriMoEveryMonth.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. NaNoWriMo Every Month is copyright 2016 by J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions and is released under a Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution No Derivatives License.